Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. I greet you in that wonderful name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at His name, beloved, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's begin this time together by opening our hearts to receive from the Lord and asking His blessings upon our time together. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being called Your children. We thank You, Lord, that You are in the process of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, bringing many new souls into salvation, that they can know the Heavenly Father as those who have been born again are privileged to know. Father, I ask for those who are listening. Lord, You see the condition spiritually. Lord, we're all in many places. Some are new believers. Some have served You for many decades. Lord, You will perfect that which concerns us. So I thank You, Lord, that You will take these few moments we share together. Lord, that You will minister to every heart. And Lord, that You will take the truths of Your Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, make it relevant and applicable in our lives. Lord, we thank You for the precious Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, our teacher, our standby, one who helps us and is with us and will lead us into all truth. So, Father, thank You for this time together. I pray, Lord, that as we place our minds and our hearts and our focus upon You and Your Word, Lord, that You will stir faith and hope and give, Lord, to Your beloved people, Lord, a confidence that You have heard their prayers and that You are moving. Lord, many times we don't see it at the time, but we know that You are a God who loves us and who hears and answers prayer. So we thank You in advance right now, Lord, for those answers to prayer. And we ask You to strengthen and refresh everyone who is listening in these next few moments we spend together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, as I sought the Lord, the subject that we're going to be looking at this week is the glory of God. Now, what does that phrase mean to you? For some, it may be a little indefinable. Glory has been described, the glory of God, as sort of the actual weight or heaviness of His presence. But there's it's a very large subject, and there's many aspects to it. But we want to understand and know what God's people experienced in the Old Testament and what, as New Testament believers, we can expect in terms of the glory of God. Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." Praise God. That was His prophetic declaration to those who would believe in the Messiah who was yet to come. There is but one God. And there's one advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our high priest. He lives and intercedes for His people. He's seated at the right hand of the Father until the Father says, "All right, son, it's time to bring your bride home." Praise God. And so we want to understand what the scriptures say about the glory of God. And I'd like to share a few passages found in the book of Exodus. And the people of Israel had a very special leader. He was somewhat of a reluctant leader. God called him after 40 years of tending sheep in the wilderness, in the desert. In his early years, he had been raised in Pharaoh's household and was skilled in wisdom and knowledge, and I'm sure had the very best of education while he was there, perhaps even being groomed for the throne. But because he killed an Egyptian and the word came out, he fled from the face of Pharaoh, which was part of God's plan for his life. And then God appeared to him in a burning bush. And he told Moses the task that he wanted him to fulfill. And in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, at that point in time, the tabernacle had been built according to the pattern in the heavens. And it said in verse 9 of chapter 33, "And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended," that was the visible sign of the presence of the Lord, "and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord," how beautiful and precious are these words, "the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." And let's go down to verse 13. "Now therefore, I pray thee," this is Moses speaking, "if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, that I might know thee, and that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And so the Lord responds, "My presence will go with you, and I will give thee rest." Moses responds, he said, "If you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go. Don't carry us up." And in verse 16, he says, "For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And that is true today. It is God's presence indwelling the believer, a person who has accepted Jesus. They become born again, and the presence of God is dwelling with them. In the Old Testament, they had a physical tabernacle that represented the presence of God. But in this new dispensation, this new covenant, those who accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within their body, their physical temple. And then in verse 18, Moses asks an amazing thing. He said, "I beseech thee, shew me thy glory." And then the Lord responds, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he placed Moses in the cleft of a rock, again a symbol of Jesus, the Rock of Ages. "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." But it's interesting. What did God himself say about the glory? It is his goodness. He would cause his goodness to pass before Moses, proclaiming the name of the Lord, saying that because of his goodness, he will be gracious. He will give grace to those whom he will be gracious to, and will show mercy on whom I will shew mercy. And of course, he's not whimsical in his choosing, in his desiring to show grace and mercy, but all those who call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. It takes a human heart calling out to God, and he will reveal his goodness and his mercy, which is a very powerful and important aspect of his glory. Now, as I sort of lay a foundation in today's broadcast about the glory of God, as we look at the Old Testament, we understand that Moses prepared the ark, and skilled craftsmen assembled and followed all the instructions that were given to Moses when he was in the mount with the Lord those 40 days. And the ark was a literal physical symbol of a presence of the invisible God to the Israelites. And for us, it is a type of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And we see that the ark of God, once they came into the promised land, we see that there was a priesthood that was established. Again, that was the instructions God gave to Moses, the high priest. Aaron was the high priest. His sons were to follow after him in that sacred office. But we see that through the history, the course of time as it passed, the Israelites chose to be unfaithful to God. And we see in the book of Samuel, the first chapter, the first few chapters, Samuel is born of a barren woman by the name of Hannah, and she's so thankful for God's answers to prayer, her personal prayers, that she dedicates and devotes him to the Lord. And Samuel grew up to be a great prophet. He grew up literally in the house of the Lord. And while he was yet young, the Lord spoke a very powerful word to Samuel. And we see in that fourth chapter of Samuel, actually, let's go back to the third chapter. Because here we see Eli's questioning of Samuel. The Lord came and spoke to Samuel, and at Eli's behest, Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And he said, "In that day I will perform against Eli," he was the high priest, "all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons, who were being raised up for the priesthood, have made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." At one point it says, "Now, what are you doing, sons? This isn't right." But he had the authority, he had the power, and he did no more than that. "And therefore," the Lord says, verse 14, "I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And of course, Samuel, in the morning at Eli's request, told everything that the Lord said to him, and Eli responded, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth to him good." Well, my time is gone, and we're just getting into this message on the glory of the Lord, and I pray that you would be able to join me as we learn some very important and powerful things about the presence of the Lord. If we want, the body of Christ, the church wants the presence and the power of God, we're going to have to follow those principles that were set up under the old covenant. God doesn't change. He has a new covenant of grace, but he has not changed. "I am the Lord, I change not," he said. Well, thank you for joining me. And as always, I do invite you to write and share your prayer requests. Sometimes there's situations that arise that you really can't share with another person. And if that's the case, you don't even have to be specific. You can just say that I need prayer. I can pray in the Spirit and God will move. I thank you for joining me today, and we'll continue tomorrow. The announcer will give our contact information. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.